I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, listeners of Lower Your Expectations, welcome back to the podcast. How are you doing, Matthew Benjamin Bentley Viney.
Nearly got there. I'm doing really well, thanks. How are you? I liked that little bit of energy.
Oh, there, just trying a little bit of different talking a bit like this, as if we're talking at the horse races.
It's like you're going to talk about jazz or something, like some soul music.
Oh, I've got a really itchy eye, but other than that, I'm all good. Have you ever had conjunctivitis, actually?
We're struggling for intro content today, guys.
No, I've got a story. I've got a story to go along with it. Have you ever had it?
No. Have you?
Well, funny you should say that, because today's sponsored. No, I'm joking. The other day, I had it over the weekend. So
is it a thing you just have over a weekend? I thought it was like
a
long
suffering
thing.
Well, you can have it for like, I've never had it, and I used to think that you got like loads of white stuff on your eyes and you looked a bit like an alien. That's just what I was scared of growing up.
I thought it was just like gunky in there. It's a bit like gross.
Yeah, and grubby. I've been using a sleep mask. And I think that hasn't helped. And I had some very itchy eyes over the weekend. Did some Googling and diagnosed myself with viral conjunctivitis.
That's always a smart thing to do. Diagnose yourself.
If in doubt, self-diagnose.
Never get scared doing that type of thing.
Everything ends up in cancer. You know, that is just the epitome of everything, isn't it? It's just, you could have cancer.
The way this room is at the moment, it is like a conspiracy room, isn't it?
It's very dark.
The curtains closed.
Yeah, we're actually recording. I mean, it's 3:45 at the time of recording this. We usually do it earlier than this, but it's obviously approaching winter and therefore it is dark already. And
we're trying anything we can to stop the noises of a building being demolished next door to us.
It is an absolute joke, guys. I know this is the third week you spoke about it, but
it's going to be every week, isn't it?
Relentless. It is so bloody annoying.
I mean, they're good at their job. They're not slacking off, are they?
They're absolutely not. Zero. Yeah, it's not one of those when you used to always... Oh, I remember being a kid and if there was roadworks in the car, my dad would always be like, no one's even doing anything. Yeah. What are they doing? And I'm just like, I mean, at least they are doing it.
I always hear the ones that, well, in America, when they do roadworks, they actually do it and they get on with it. And they
never sleep.
The night.
They don't even eat.
Here, they're bloody lazy. Sorry if you work in roadworks. I don't think
construction workers. I don't think that either. You do great jobs, just annoying when it's opposite your office.
Although, do you think sometimes they do things for the sake of doing things?
I do think that in Germany in particular, I've noticed there's a lot of roadworks. Like, a lot. Where there doesn't
but
seem...
so efficient. Efficient, yeah, that's it.
Efficient.
They are,
quotations. No, they
they're
are.
Known
they
for
are
that.
Known for being efficient.
So, guys, I'd like to just take a moment and talk about the LYE Fantasy Football League that we currently do. And you guys can join that if you're into your fantasy football.
Yeah, a bit of context. We set up fantasy football for everyone who's probably not interested in this.
A lot of people have joined, 130 people.
They have. Tweeted out at the beginning of the season, if you're into fantasy football, come and join it. Yeah, I am smashing it.
What position are you in, Marcus?
46.
Ooh, that's quite good, isn't it?
Where are you, Matt?
Fourth.
Where are you in the winner takes all league?
Well, we're not
Where are you in that league?
We're talking about the lower your expectations league, and I'm fourth. 60 behind David McCarthy. You are currently winning.
You're close to relegation in the other league. You're 13th out of 20. That's shocking.
What about the Sasha Bombs League?
Don't know
Sasha
what
that Bombs is. Div 2.
Yeah, you're winning.
The one where there's some money involved. How are you doing in that one?
I'm bottom.
Ah, it's good.
I don't care about fantasy football.
You told me I don't care about any other league apart from the Sasha Bombs Div 2.
I said all I care about is the winner takes all.
No, you did.
Misquoting me there.
But yeah, guys, if you want to join, I'll put it in the show notes as well so you can see that.
Yeah.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more.
And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Are you strapped in, Marcus?
Yeah, I'm fully strapped in.
You got your passport?
Yeah.
Got your helmet?
Got it. Got a couple.
Okay, good. And up, up, and away we go into the atmosphere. And oh, we're looking over. Hang on a minute. There's a group of guys and girls are watching some videos and they're commentating over it. Oh, I wonder what is that going to be a thing one day?
And I'm looking at the thumbnails and they've all got funny squished faces in the thumbnails. What's going on there?
And they've got a lot of views and a lot of dislikes, but also a lot of likes. They're all very controversial. And on the right-hand side, we've got some...
Stars.
Thanks, mate. And we've landed. In the digital world, we are back in that place where we talk about the internet and YouTube and Snapchat and Twitter and Instagram and Twitch and MySpace and Bebo and the Habbo Hotel.
MSN.
And MSN. Oh, I miss MSN. But we are there.
Well, yeah. Great.
How was your trip?
Great. I was about to say, it's the only world that we know what to talk about in, isn't it? It's the only world we're comfortable in, the digital world.
Yeah, we're like the stereotypical YouTuber from 2010 who just stays in their bedroom watching the internet and talking about it.
Don't you think we actually have a really interesting format for the podcast? Because it always starts like, ha ha, some jokes and laughs and banter. And then it's like, right, now let's get really serious and discuss in-depth debates, usually around some kind of gossip topic.
Yeah, that is true, actually, isn't it?
Finishing off with a big question. Yeah.
It's like a serious sandwich. You've got... So the main meat of it is being, oh, yes, we're very important, listen to our opinions. And then the other two bits, you're right.
It's like a fresh-made sourdough piece of bread.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Where we're just being silly.
Everyone loves balance.
All love balance.
So, got your serious hat on today?
Yep.
You have?
Yep. I need some serious glasses. Yeah, I need to get
borrow
some
off Casper.
What, has he got some?
Yeah, he loves the serious glasses. Every time he's doing an interview, he whips the serious glasses out.
I'll have to get in touch, see if he can lend me them. But today, we are going to talk about commentary channels. I said that...
A commentary channel. Commentary channels.
Yeah, commentary.
Commentary.
Commentary, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. The rise of them, the history behind it, the future of it. Mm-hmm. First off, what is a commentary channel, Marcus? Used to be one.
Did I?
Very, very beginning of your career, if you look at it. When you were sat talking about the news,
looking at my career,
commentating.
Yeah, okay.
See,
a commentary channel these days is—it's almost like a review of something. The commentary channels these days tend to be making fun of big YouTubers or trying to like pull something, turn stories on, just make light-hearted entertainment out of people's fuck-ups or the road to irrelevancy or. You know, whatever it is that they can do.
A direct quotation there.
Yeah, and they always seem to be, if they're talking about a YouTuber, a specific YouTuber, they will make them into a weird shape in their thumbnails. Just, I don't
You're
know
obsessed
why.
With that, aren't you?
I don't understand it.
But I guess if you're not into YouTube, like I know there's a few of my friends who listen to this aren't all like gossiping
Get
about
the friend
YouTubers.
Shout outs. At least your friends listen. Cheers, guys.
Yeah. But as a general rule of thumb, I would say it's almost as if like columnist from a newspaper has their own channel and they're like talking about what's going on in the world, but mainly to
a
do with YouTube.
A bitter columnist. Like they
Sometimes, yeah.
I guess the pioneer of this whole genre, I would probably say, is H3.
Ooh, what do you think?
I don't know.
Drama Alert.
No, I think H3 who made it mainstream to take down other people.
That's true.
And make fun of other people. He's the most mainstream out of all of that genre. Yeah. That rose.
Well, he's definitely on the entertainment side, isn't he? Because he always does like reaction videos to funny channels or dodgy channels. I remember the whole kissing prank thing. That's how that got kind of blown up and taken apart by H3, which was brilliant. And then you got the other side of it, and you got like the news kind of element where it's drama alert, scarce, and to a degree. Yeah, I don't feel he's as gossipy.
No, he's absolutely not.
No. I mean, you don't need to go.
I take that bullet for him. He's absolutely not gossipy, is he?
But recently, I feel as if the new wave of British YouTubers coming through are all commentary channels.
There seems to have been an explosion in the last year of channels blowing up, basically doing that, coming for bigger YouTubers, slating them, bringing them down.
Well, I mean, iNabber featured in Shane Dawson's series recently. Yeah. I was shocked to see him there.
Sit down, iNabber.
Very cool for him. But then you've also got the likes of, I guess, Jackmate, Kavos, Angelica.
I feel like there's probably loads unaware of as well, and you know, probably around a couple hundred k's or whatever.
What's your experience with like commentary channels? When did you first start kind of watching them and realizing, wow, this is a thing, you can do this?
One of my, I don't know if it's a commentary channel, but like, would you say Cody Ko is a commentary channel?
I say they're more like reaction channels because they're more entertainment when they're making these jokes and things. Yeah. It's not as personal.
Yeah. See, if you're going to put Cody Ko in that realm with H3, of early H3 videos anyway, I really find them entertaining because I think they're hilarious. The jokes that they usually make are funny. But yeah, the people who are just making the content coming for YouTubers is like, I don't know, it's a weird one.
It's a very fine line, isn't it?
It's a very fine line because there's so many things I want to talk about in this section, but it's kind of a form of bullying if you want to look at it from that angle. At the same point, you could argue that all these people, they're making videos. I think I've even probably had some videos made about me. No one's ever really questioned anything these people do in this whole YouTube space. And I think a lot of it is probably people who maybe used to be fans of them growing up, watching them when they're younger. And now they're older and they, like, for whatever reason, decide their content shit or just have a personal thing with them, or they just want to use people's names for views because it works, doesn't it? Using people's names for views does work in that respect.
We know that, don't we?
Yeah. But of course, if someone's going, why Zoella is not friends with Sprinkle of Glitter, it's like, you're going to get views doing that.
So I guess what we need to try and figure out over the next 15 minutes or so, what is the appeal of these channels and when does it go from being entertainment to bullying? Like, what's the area there? How do you determine
that? It's a tough one because they can be funny. Look, if you take yourself too seriously as a creator and you can't have or deal with someone saying some of those things or making lighthearted jokes, it's like, that's your own thing. But it is a fine line, isn't it, between someone being like trying to be funny and making fun of someone's content and just being a bit of a bitter twat about it.
Yeah. It's really hard. And also, I guess you could take H3 as an example. The evolution of the channels, as they grow and become bigger and bigger and bigger, it becomes more and more difficult to take channels down because all of a sudden you're the Goliath and it's not very nice when you're trying to take down little old David.
Like, that's the issue H3 got, I think. And even Jackmate, to a certain degree, like, he blew up obviously from his Zoella videos, blah 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 blah, and he's always been a controversial character on YouTube, and sometimes, my personal opinion, sometimes I think he's hilarious. I think he's really funny sometimes, genuinely. And then other times it's like, sometimes seems he's coming across a bit bitter on some things.
I feel as if with Jackmate, it's because he's, like you say, really funny.
Yeah.
It seems naturally funny. And you can write jokes and stuff. And he's great when there's social injustice. So I remember he did a video recently about foreigners in Britain. And it was basically taking down all the racists and making them look, as ridiculous as their views are.
Yeah.
I loved it. I thought, oh, this is so funny. Yeah. And the person, the subject, deserved this. I was like, great. I'm glad someone said that. Whereas when he's coming for YouTubers who have released merch he doesn't think is good enough, I'm like, it just feels as if you're doing it because it's a slow news week. Mm. or like you say, putting YouTubers in the title.
Yeah, but he even said, I saw he went on True Geordie's podcast, and I saw some clips of it, I watched some stuff of it, and I think he opened up a bit saying that he doesn't actually enjoy doing that, and he got to a point where people are expecting him, and he said something about being actually sensitive in real life, and he doesn't actually enjoy doing that. It's a hard one because he knows if he does a video slating Zoella, his fans are probably going to be like, oh my god, this is hilarious. And yeah, it's going to do well in views. So
it's one of the biggest ironies, though, isn't it? It always works that way. The people, the bullies at school are the ones bullying because they've got a lot going on in the background sort of thing. Yeah. And they're in pain and they're sad. So they're putting on a front to be, oh, well, no, I'm doing this, doing that, whatever. So that doesn't surprise me in a way. I think if you're making your living from taking down people, how does that feel? How does that compute?
Yeah.
I don't know how I would feel with that.
Yeah, because I think, you know, we've done it in a way where we've made fun of people's videos before. We've made fun of Robin Birrell's videos. We've made fun of that weird kissing guy who is a complete weirdo. So, like, we have kind of touched on it, but where we've touched on it, we're more coming for people's content rather than directly coming for that person, even though that kissing guy is a weirdo.
No, I see what you're saying, though. There's the point to it where it's like the subject that's being talked about deserves, well, not even, how do you decide what deserves anything?
Yeah, I think there's a difference between coming for someone's content and coming for the person individually, because as we said time and time again, a YouTuber is their brand. So it's like, if you want to slate a product, you want to slate whatever, that's fine. That is completely...
Yeah, that's a good point.
Got no human emotions really behind it. When you're slating someone's content, that could be seen as that element. But as soon as you kind of push it onto the individual, and it's just... That's, I think, where you're, like, you're over the line, but...
Yep, I agree. And I've watched a lot of commentary channels when it does go like that, and I don't enjoy it. Yeah. So I'm like, well... This person's obviously going to watch this video when they see if it's doing well in views. So they're going to watch it. Imagine what they must be thinking. It's like, I think you would be okay if people are taking the piss out of some of your content. You might not agree with it.
Yeah, yeah.
But you'd be like, fine, you can wash that off.
Yeah, yeah.
But when it's about you personally and going into things that they've got no idea what they're talking about, that's when it's like gossipy and Katie Hopkins-esque.
Yeah, also...
And does anyone want to be known for that? That's what I always think. Like, do you really... When you tell people in the street what you do for a living, how do you feel with
that? With the people doing only that as well, I sometimes feel there's maybe an element of, I'm better than this person. Like, if you're constantly belittling other people...
Yeah, you put yourself on a pedestal, don't you?
Are you then up there? Which is... It's hard because I don't want to generalize the whole... Because I think there's... a lot of people who do it very well, but I just think across the board it is a dangerous spectrum where you're going to fall on it.
Well, I guess we're talking about the ones that have had the most prominence in the last year or so. And obviously we know from YouTube the things that go to the right, to the very top, there's a reason they're there. It's either it's controversial or it's got nudity in it or it's got whatever.
But so, there's clearly a market for it, like you know, these people's channels are blowing up. We saw it with Kavos. His channel just blew up, like million subs, like here and there, whatever. People enjoy watching it. It's almost like, I'd say it's kind of the dark side of YouTube. Because you've always had people who like make fun of things, you know, go look at the times on Reddit or you go for any of those feeds or threads. I think it's just shining a light on it now and that content is living and growing. And
well, is this now the end of YouTuber, the kind of the positivity that used to be so connected with YouTube? When people used to think about YouTube, it was, oh, cute little YouTubers going about their business or making weird quirky videos.
Yeah,
now it seems very much cutthroat.
Yeah, well, I feel that's gone away for many reasons, but not because of that. I'd say it mainly went away just from the evolution of all the people who did that came from nothing. Like, YouTube wasn't a job. I've said it time and time again, but there's no, people were just learning and putting themselves online. That was a totally new thing to get your head around, and some people went different ways within that. And I think that whole thing of that personality type YouTuber is going to fade away. I think it will.
What do you think the unique challenges will be for a commentary channel? Because we knew from doing the daily videos on More Marcus, it was really hard knowing, oh my god, we need to plan X amount of videos and film X amount of videos in a certain amount of time. How do you feel like they will go about filming their things when there's nothing to talk about? Like, how would they decide, right, I'm going to take down, go through the trending page, this person?
I think the biggest thing they'll come up against is earning money, because your channel will start to blow up. But I think YouTube's AdSense isn't as good on those videos, or some of them get demonetized and stuff like that. So I think that's going to be an issue, just kind of turning the whole thing into a business, into a brand. You can be popular for a minute doing this type of content, but to push it onto that next level of to give yourself longevity, I think that's maybe what we're kind of seeing with Jackmate now. I'd recommend, if you want to hear him openly talk about it, go and watch that True Geordie episode, because it was interesting. And he was like, you know, I want to be doing all these other things as well. He doesn't just want to be doing that. And I think that's hard to give yourself longevity, because it's not good energy. Like, you in that moment of filming that video of slating someone, sure, you can make a joke, you think it's funny, but unless you're like actually a bit of a dick or actually a bit of a mean person, it's a weird energy to be getting super excited and like, oh my God. You know, we've said it before, are these people waiting for big social media stars to fuck up? And then they like, oh, fucking hell. It's the whole plan in their head will go, oh my God, if I jump on this tonight, if I make the video, if I get it out, I'll get those views, I'll do this. So that whole cycle is going on, but you got to think it's going on around killing someone. Like, you're probably going to be hurting someone's feelings.
Or kicking them when they're down.
And it's just a weird energy.
I think from the traditional world, there's an example of someone doing that and then going on to other things. Like Charlie Brooker had his own show, Weekly Wipe and The Yearly Wipe. And it was a similar concept where he would go through the week or the year and look at all the big news stories and the big figures and take the piss, basically. And it was great. It was really funny. And then he managed to go away from that, ended up doing Black Mirror. So, you know, you can, if it's good writing, it's good writing. And I don't have a problem when they're doing these things and it's not just personal attacks. Mm. If it's actually got a point and it's constructive, I think it's quite funny.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, they'll watch that and think, yeah, probably shouldn't have done that, to be fair.
Yeah.
It's agreed. When he goes into, oh, and he looks like this. Oh, she looks like this. So I'm not getting anything from it. It's like I'm back at school.
I agree.
Like, don't just do insults for the sake of insulting because you need to make a video. Mm-hmm. I think that's when it annoys me. I watched the recent one on Zoe's book from Jackmate, and I felt like his heart wasn't in it. I could tell anyway, I might be completely off the mark, but he was doing it because everyone had been hounding him to do it.
Yeah.
He knew
he almost felt
views.
Like he had to.
Yeah, exactly.
He almost felt like
from
he had
to. From a business point of view, he probably felt like he had to do it.
Yeah.
You know, at the start of the video, he did like a 15-second spiel, oh, sub here, do this. Doesn't do that in all his videos. So it must be a tricky one.
I think it would be interesting to get someone on a commentary channel and just chat with them, because I'd like to know what the process is like. And
it must be a completely different skill set as well.
Yeah.
I mean, research and things like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm astounded. I'm like, wow, how have they got all this information? Yeah. This is like fascinating. What do you think of it as a business model though? YouTubers, unfortunately, are always making mistakes, aren't they? And it's a funny place. There's lots of big characters who you can continually churn out shit about.
I think, I mentioned earlier about the AdSense thing, but I think a lot of brands will be put off from working with these people because...
Good point.
I mean, sure, you're going to get some brands who are like a little bit edgy or sure want to get on board with something, but of course, a lot of brands aren't going to want to work with the people who are just making that style of content.
Or I guess treading the line, because when you're making that style of content as well, you're usually risking offending a whole fan base.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at it in stand-up comedy, look at someone like Frankie Boyle, right? Extremely controversial, usually doesn't give a shit about other people's opinions and will openly slate someone. Sure, he's super successful.
Yeah,
got his own shows,
BBC.
Got his fans and stuff like that. But is he ever going to land like ambassador of a brand type of thing, like a more commercial type of thing where you can earn serious money? Maybe he has, I don't know the ins and outs of Frankie Ball, but using that example to I guess across with the YouTube stuff, of course you can still be successful doing that, and I'm sure people will continue to do that and grow, and the evolution of that will probably change and how they earn their money, etc. But I just question some of the other things with it in a typical YouTube world of where and how you earn your money. They'll earn their money from things like merch, sure, if they've got that fan base, but
I thought it's awful to sell merch to young kids. That's what I keep hearing, and then I go on their pages and there's plenty of it, so I don't understand that.
Well, yeah, that's the question you can ask them when they're on.
I find the irony with the commentary channel as well is that the lifespan seems to be, you either obviously make videos and you don't do very well and you just, that's it, Or you do really well and you last a long time, and then suddenly it all comes full circle and you're the one being taken lumps out of.
Yeah, like
people
H3.
People are attacking you.
Like H3.
H3 at the moment, I've seen so many commentary channels going for him.
It's like all relentless. I'm seeing at the moment. And because obviously you watch one, you then get recommended 50. Yeah. 50 a day.
Isn't that funny though? It's like what's that saying in like superhero films? Like, you live long enough to die the villain. Like, if you die young, you're a hero. Live long enough to see yourself become the villain. It seems to be like that with these channels.
But that's the risk you have of being in the space at the moment of being a YouTuber with a lot of subscribers. It's a hard one because H3, you look at some of the things that's gone on and you're like, well, yeah, people do have a point in some of the things they're saying. I was about to defend PewDiePie and say, why aren't people doing them on PewDiePie? But let's be honest, I'm sure if I searched it, there probably are a shitload on Felix as well.
Definitely will be.
But that's what I was going to say is when you're at the top, when you've got millions of subscribers, you're in that height of YouTube, when commentary channels are popping, of course they're going to be coming for you. Same as Shane. It's like, I swear, just in my recommend in the last, I've seen loads of like how Shane has been manipulated and...
Yeah, but I reckon in his eyes, because his marketing strategy for the series is really interesting. He was like promoting any kind of show that was talking about him and talking about whether it's positive or negative, just to kind of get the conversation.
Post the show, I've seen a lot of like negativity towards him and the show. So it's like, you're always, I think it's just the climate we're in now.
I feel like before we move on, we should definitely talk about Leafy. He was like the... In my eyes, he was the first commentary channel that went like crazy, completely ballistic.
Yeah, he was the one who
views and things, and everyone was talking about him.
Yeah,
and then as it turned out, he couldn't sustain it, could he? Like, he was moaning about, obviously, like you said, AdSense, struggling to earn from it.
Yeah,
but also, I think you're right with the negative energy. Like, I think it must take a toll on you.
Unless you are just a bit of a cunt. it's not nice to be. You're making fun of someone. It's not. Unless you're a bit, like I said, a bit of a weirdo, you're not getting off on that, are you? So to constantly be in that zone, in that circle, feeling like you have to do it, must be pretty shit.
Guys, let us know who your favourite commentary channel is and we'll get him on the podcast.
No, but...
And they'll roast us.
It would be really interesting. I don't know who we could speak to as a guest or who we could get on as a guest who would be interesting to talk about. Yeah, also would love to know...
Yeah, what your thoughts are.
What your thoughts are. So use that hashtag LYE on socials and get in touch. Phone Matt's number.
07. Are you ready?
Yes.
For a big, insane, humongous...
Monumental.
Monumental, iconic... Gigantic, giant.
Oh, sorry, I'm just yawning then.
Question.
Yeah, Freddie.
So I don't know if you've seen this in the news. I mean, if you haven't seen it in the news, then you're, quite frankly, I think you're ignorant. I think anyone listening, if you haven't seen this in the news, I think you're ignorant and you need to go back to school.
All right.
So the headline is, human spider, Alan Robert, banned from climbing any UK building. What do you think about that?
Again, human spider.
Yep.
Is he like a free runner?
He climbs stuff. He's Spider-Man.
Right. I mean, I like watching people do things like that. So it's a shame.
Well,
that,
not anymore, unfortunately.
It's a shame that he has been banned.
But his web's been cut.
Oh. Did you have that written?
No.
You did, didn't you?
No, I didn't. But he handed the police his passport and lawyer's number when he was arrested on the top of the London's Heron Tower, a court has heard. Because it was illegal. No safety gear. He's 56 years old. And he ascended the 662-foot Heron Tower. How long do you think that took him?
30 minutes.
Well, that's a good guess, actually. 45 minutes. Oh. But in the past, he's done the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, Empire State Building, New York. But apparently in the UK, we're not very fun. And he was sentenced to 20 weeks imprisonment.
Oh, that's a bit silly, isn't it?
Suspended for 2 years.
Come on, Theresa May, sort it out.
Well, it said he can't. Come on, mate.
That's a bit far-fetched. Go to prison.
Yeah, but it could be like a terrorist thing, couldn't it? The guy's climbing up a building. How do you know he's not got anything strapped to him? If you saw right now out this window a guy climbing up our building, you'd be like, can you not do that, please?
All right. What's the difference to him doing that and walking down the street? How do you know he's got nothing strapped to him walking down the street?
No, but when you're up a building...
What?
Well, the building can come down and then kill loads of people. Why are you looking at me like that?
No.
You know that an explosive blast can topple a building.
No, it can't.
What are you saying?
I'm just saying that it can't. That an explosive that one person has strapped them, in this case, is not toppling a building. It's absolutely not.
Well, thankfully that didn't happen, and he wasn't doing that. Just to clear that up, he wasn't doing that. But yeah, so just a bit of a downer.
Yeah,
quite sad.
Okay, that's sad. That is
and,
sad.
And I'm going to stick with that theme in this question.
Fantastic. Fantastic lightning
When have you
been
the most disappointed in your life?
Brilliant. I mean...
No, but let's keep answers above board. Let's keep them, like, chirpy.
Right, because my first response is going to be probably when my parents decided to divorce. probably not the best moment in my life.
My grandparents died.
Like, what are you expecting? When have you been...
A funny anecdote.
As it's worded, when have you been... most disappointed in your life?
That sounds fun, doesn't it? Just sign off of a fun little question.
Brilliant. We've got a shared story.
We're going to share it.
We're going to, yeah. So we did
our entitled story.
We did a fantastic job. Coming up to this time last year with the Grand Tour and Amazon and Twitter and Niche.
Anyone
else that wants to be in that? BMW. Yeah. Yeah, we're doing this massive road trip and we traveled 10 countries in 10 days. If you have been around for a while, you've heard us talk about it before.
And then the horror struck.
Yeah, the horror struck. What country were we in?
Switzerland.
We were in Switzerland. Snow had come down heavy. It was
snowing.
Heavy snow.
It's worth saying just before this that this day we had been promised... And you can make us sound like such spoiled brats, like little school kids. We had been promised that we were going to go go-karting and everyone was going to take part because usually it was just like the main teams, wasn't it? Whereas everyone, like the whole crew, was all going to get involved.
Like crew and production.
Big
crew,
race. Yeah. And everyone was like talking about little tactics and
who's going to win. We had professional drivers with us, so it was all like, ooh.
It was really funny. And because of that, they said, right, you're going to drive a bit longer today and then you can do it. But, okay, well, that's fine. We'll do that.
As far as I can remember, we just got closer and closer. The snow was getting worse and worse. Well, we couldn't go kart in the end, could we?
No, but I remember it came through the walkie-talkie saying, like, yeah, there's going to be no go-karting today, guys. And Marcus is like, yeah, good joke, Mick.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so Nick's sassy.
Like, yeah, I was like, yeah, good one. He's like, I'm not joking. And I was like, what?
Yeah, we were all, it went silent.
Yeah.
It went silent. And the mood us three from and the everyone. Cards went, fuck's sake. We were so annoyed. Yeah. And then just to compound that, got back to the hotel. I watched Man United get dicked 3-0 by City.
I had Coutinho captain in my fancy team and I was like, Coutinho's going to do bits. What did Klopp do? Oh, I put him on the bench. Cheers, mate.
I mean, came on for like 5 minutes. Yeah. And then we went downstairs and I think you were talking
asked
to
Mike a question. I was like, Mike, one of the organisers, producers, who had obviously...
He was probably, quite stressed, wasn't
probably
he,
quite stressed from this whole snow and the whole day being cancelled. I just went up to him. I was like, what did I say? I was like...
I think you said, like, do you want to hear the most disappointing thing today?
Oh, yeah. And he just looked at me. Honestly, I've never seen someone look more annoyed. Just go, not really, no. And I was like, oh.
And then I meant my fantasy team.
Yeah. And he was like, oh, cool.
Yeah. I still want to go. I still haven't been go-karting. I need to do that. Maybe we should do a LYE go-karting with everyone.
Everyone? Just you and me?
No, all the listeners.
Just a competition.
Get Adam back. Yeah, we'll do it with everyone. Get down to London somewhere and we'll do it. Christmas party.
Okay. But yeah. What, in a week? I'm going to Thailand, mate. I would beat you, though.
Guys, let us know what
I've got trophies, by the way. I've won many competitions before. Not competition, like when you've done it with your friends.
You obviously treat them like competitions.
Well, you know.
The best in Brighton.
A race is a race.
Oh, my God. I can imagine you being such a little dick on the road, actually.
talented, not go-karts. A dick. Not no, a dick,
I
just
can
talented.
Imagine you cutting people up and being...
I'm like Lewis Hamilton. Yeah.
Well, when you met him, he gave some advice in the go-karts.
He was like, I've seen you go-kart. No.
I'll give you a try. No,
in all seriousness, I'm actually too heavy to be good at go-karting. Oh. But for my heaviness, for my weight, I'm still much better than the average person.
I genuinely thought you might say, in all seriousness, I'm really good at go-karting. I honestly thought that was going to come out of your mouth.
Yeah, I am, though.
So, guys, let us know what are your most disappointed moments in life. But keep it upbeat.
Yeah.
Go-karts, FIFA, fantasy, that kind of stuff. Nothing too morbid. We've all got them. And we deal with them. And we're okay.
Where are you going from there?
I'm not.
I'm going passing over to me. Well, there we go, guys. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of Lower Your Expectations. Remember, if you did not know, we are on Spotify now. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Acast. And that's it for this week. So thank you for listening. And we'll see you guys next week.
And we're hoping to have some more guests on soon. So let us know who you think we should be getting in this little sweatbox we now do the podcast in. So we will see you very soon.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.